May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father be with us this morning and forever henceforth. Amen. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Romans, chapter 6, and beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 11. That's Romans chapter 6, and beginning with the first verse, and reading these words in Jesus' name. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words, Father, that you have given them to the apostle to write down. And Father, we pray that you would give them to us so that we may fully understand them and fully acknowledge them, and that we may glorify you in them. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Believe it or not, there are people that believe that. There are people that believe that once they have come under grace, they can go on living their life any way they want to. They can go on and continue living their life as they did before they came unto peace, before they came to grace. Because they said that God forgives sin. So I can go ahead and sin, do what I want to do, and I know that I'm forgiven. But you see, they don't understand. They don't understand, nor do they acknowledge what it was that had to be done in order for them to have that grace. What it was that Christ did for them to have that grace. What it was that God had to do for them to have that grace. The sacrifice that had to happen. This world went on for a lot of years between the time of Adam through the birth of Christ. There was a lot of nastiness that went on. There was a lot of sinfulness. There was a lot of disobedience. There was a lot of just plain not caring. But all that changed when Christ came. No, it didn't. It continues on today. But we have that salvation today through Christ. We have that salvation. We have it free and clear, without money, without price. And it's ours. And he just asks us to grab a hold of it and hang on to it. So shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this is a very strong statement in verse 2. God forbid. God forbid. Not, no, we can't because God has, you know, said that we're not. No, God forbid. And to forbid something is to not allow it. Not allow it in any way, shape, or form. How shall we that are dead to sin live therein any longer? Or live in there any longer therein? To understand and to know that we are dead to sin. We need to know the sacrifice. We need to know, how is it that we can be dead to sin? The apostle goes on and he says, now, don't you know that so many of us that were baptized, or as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Sounds a little confusing. He died so that I might live. But you see, that's just the point. Christ died so that I could live. We are baptized with his grace. But if Christ had not died, that grace would not be there. We wouldn't have that grace. Christ had to die first. We are baptized into Jesus Christ, and because we were baptized unto his death, we were thought of. It was for our benefit that Christ died. It was for our justification that Christ died. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, the glory of the Father, even so we are also should walk in newness of life. In 1 Peter chapter 4, let me read that first verse. I got it marked here. Hopefully it'll be a little easier to find. Find it. 1 Peter chapter 4, the very first verse. He says this, he says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." I don't know about you. My salvation lies in the fact that Christ died for me, even as the scripture verse just said. And yet I still suffer in the flesh. I still am tempted. I still do things that I shouldn't do. Sometimes the temptation is there and it's just a little bit hard to withstand, or a whole lot hard. And there are times where I would stumble and fall. The beauty of that verse is that if we still are tempted in the flesh, that means we are a son of God, or we are a child of God, I should say. Because Satan's not going to come in and try to tell somebody, well, you know, and try to tempt you in such a way if you're not a child, if you're not a child of God. Why should he? You're not a child of God, so basically you belong to him. But it's those of us who believe that have to suffer the temptation. It's those of us who acknowledge that our salvation is in Christ that we have to suffer the temptation. It's those of us who acknowledge the fact that our Savior died for us. That our Savior paid that ultimate price so that one day we could be with him. And because of, in acknowledging that, Satan's going to do everything that he can do to draw us away from that. And he's going to make us at times make us feel so miserable. But the beauty is, God is right there the whole time. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to just say, well, okay, you're on your own now, folks. You know, you decided to go down that path, so you just go ahead and walk it yourself, because, you know, that's not what I want for you. No, God doesn't work that way. He walks right. Actually, he doesn't walk with you. He walks ahead of you. He walks ahead of you. And that Holy Spirit that he has given to each and every believer, who lives within the heart of each and every believer, is there comforting, strengthening, guiding, and whispering and saying, don't do that. don't go there. And then giving the strength to endure and giving the strength to come out of it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's how God protects us. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. God raised up Christ, and we are now instructed to walk the same way. And we are a part of that glory. In Revelations, it talks about all of the people that are standing in white robes, the servants of God, the prophets of God, the messengers of God. And they're all gathered around in a white robe. That's us. That's not somebody, you know, that kind of was in the past. That's us. Those who were before us, who walked before us, yes, they're there. And so will we be. We'll be there also. That's such a comforting thought, that God loves me that much, that he's got that prepared. It's prepared for me. I just have to continue on this path, which isn't easy at times, but yet I know that he is going to take care of this for me. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We will be resurrected the same way our Savior was. Not different, not in a different form, different way. Our resurrection is the same as his was. And we will be lifted up to heaven the same as he did. And we will sit there with him. This morning we were even talking about it, but I've been reminded from time to time that when Sue's mom died, two separate times she saw heaven, and both times it was glorious. So much so that she said she couldn't even describe it. It was so beautiful. That's what awaits us. That's what awaits each and every one of us. We're coming into a time in this life, and I can't tell you, I'm not going to say that, well, the end of the world is going to come tomorrow or whatever. We don't know that. Nobody knows that. But the point is that we need to be ready. And if God decides to take our life this afternoon or tomorrow morning or next week or next month, we need to be ready. And we need to walk that path and recognize our salvation in him. We need to live that life that is an example of who he is. We think, well, I can't do that. How can I possibly do that? Well, you're right. I can't. Maybe you can, but I can't. But yet God still loves me, and he gives me that opportunity. Every once in a while, something comes up where I could kind of show that this is what my Savior would do, or this is how I'm supposed to act, or this is how you're supposed to react to something, or this, whatever the case may be. God places these things in our path. We just have to be there and ready to acknowledge them and to obey him. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I know you know these verses. I do, or I have several times seen them. But if you want to turn there, and let's look at it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This verse is something that each and every Christian believer needs to hang on to. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul's message, and it should be our message also. We are crucified with Christ. Why? Because we have come unto his salvation. We have been blessed with his grace, and the sin that we once had has been washed away and is no longer a part. We were crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old body that we had, the life that we once led, the things that we once did, have all been forgiven. And they've all been washed away because of that salvation that we have attained through faith in him. For he that is dead is freed from sin. It's another term that can be used in there. For he that is dead is justified from sin. What is it to be justified? To be justified is just simply put that we are worthy. Abraham was justified. Why? Because he believed God. And through that justification, he was right. God proclaimed him righteous, even as we are. Why? Because we believe. Not because we've done anything. Not because we've gone out and performed some great act. Simply put, we believe. We believe in what he has done for us and the salvation that he has provided for us. And because we believe it, we are therefore justified. We are therefore righteous in the eyes of God, because we have acknowledged that Christ is our salvation. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Think on that verse for a moment. If we're dead with Christ, if we come to acknowledge that he is our salvation, we also live with him. We can acknowledge him as a brother. But not only a brother, we acknowledge him as the salvation of our souls. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. If you look in the first chapter of Revelations, the very first chapter, and it's verse 18, is it? Yeah, 18. And this is what Jesus says. This isn't John wrote it, but he wasn't instructed to. This is what Jesus said. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. It's Jesus talking. He didn't just die and get put in the earth and just get covered up and rot away. No, he is on God's right hand even this morning. He was dead, but he arose again. The same as what we will be. Whether we die the physical death here upon this earth, or whether God calls us home at the last day, and still while we're here, we will be with him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Another term is that could be used there, where it says that he lives unto God. He is devoted to God. When a person is devoted to somebody, they serve him. If you're devoted to something, you are serving. You're providing a service. You are part of the existence of that individual. And this is what Christ is. He's a part of God. He lives with him. He is devoted to him. And the same can be said even in verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, but devoted unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. He lives with God. He is God's servant, if you will. He obeyed and he did exactly as God would want him to do. And because of that, we have that hope for eternal life. We have that hope for salvation. And it's free. It doesn't cost anything. It's offered to you. Take a hold of it. Don't let go of it. I know that those of us here understand that, but there are some that don't. Can I tell you, or could I tell those people that life is going to be a lot easier? Physically, maybe not. But spiritually, it will be. Because there's a recognition that there is somebody that is there to help and continue to support. And that there is somebody there that will one day take us home. May he add these blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen.